Well, I think that the Cliffs of Moher now like, are a lovely place to see, right? Next door to them is the Burn, which there isn't much to see, but it's of huge historical interest.
South Dakota in the States, like the Presidents. That's the most awe-inspiring place I've seen.
I have a pretty simple mind, so when I went to the Eiffel Tower, since living in Ireland, like, you don't see that many tall buildings. Like, the spire doesn't even compare to some of the things. Because I think I like the idea of seeing skyscrapers. I think the Eiffel Tower is definitely the most jaw-dropping thing I've ever seen.
Cliffs of Moher.
Yeah, personally biased.
Inishbofin. That is the Galway Inishbofin. It's Paradise Island. I've been going there since 1977. And it is a magical place.
From landmarks to cultural sites, many of us have our favourite attractions. But what about those trips that are not so memorable? The ones people feel are a bit bland, lacking some excitement, or dare I say, even boring.
I suppose attractions that kind of link up to Irish heritage, the stereotypes. I was at a museum in Dublin recently and I kind of felt it wasn't authentic. And it's kind of spreading a false narrative, but there's a financial aspect to all of these. And you think
some tourists might come in, see that, and they go home thinking, oh, that's...
Thinking, yeah, this is the real Ireland and it, the complete opposite, you know, that kind of way. But sure, look, I'm all for everyone coming over and getting their own experience out of here, you know.
What do you think is an overrated tourist attraction?
The main one is probably the Spire. It's not much of a tourist attraction, but it's a big, like, kind of focal point of town. And it's just a big pointy stick in the middle of the city, you know?
You don't see any fascination with it? Or?
Like, if I was not from Ireland and I had flown all the way to town and I got there and it was just the Spire, I'd be a bit disappointed, to be honest. And
Empire State, overrated. That Summit One, Vanderbilt, is better in New York. It's a new one. It's in, like, Grand Central Station. I was there 2 weeks ago. Better views.
And when it comes to boring attractions or boring landmarks, is there anything that comes to mind?
Temple Bar, the Spire. No, I don't see the appeal. I work in bars and I don't get it.
Maybe a museum, like, but it depends what the museum's about. Like, if it's something I'm really into, then that would be interesting. But I think, like, if it's general, like, maybe history of a place that I'm not that into, then probably a museum, really.
The Blarney Stone. I can't go any further. Talked enough.
You wouldn't be rushing there to kiss the Blarney Stone?
No. Kiss the Blarney Stone? You're joking? No, don't have to.
Jesus, I don't know, mate. Probably the Eiffel Tower.
You think it's overrated?
Yeah, sure, man.
You just don't see the fascination?
No, just two or three of them. One in Vegas, one there, and one somewhere in America, isn't that?
So you went there to get the picture and you were saying, what's all this about?
Yeah, it's not great. You wouldn't let us up the top or anything because it was windy.
And what about here at home? Is there anything that you think is overrated? Or
Phoenix Park.
Different strokes for different folks. Not everything will be everyone's cup of tea. But to find out what visitors are looking for when they come to the Emerald Isle, I spoke with the CEO of the Association of Visitor Experiences and Attractions in Ireland, Catherine Flanagan.
The main reasons are the landscape, the culture and heritage, and the people. And visitor attractions really speak to those three motivators. The world is wide and people's appetites for how they spend their leisure time on holidays is very, very varied. So there's interest out there for the whole gamut, the whole range of visitor attractions and things to see and do.
And how does an attraction really stand out? Like, what makes an attraction work and draws the crowds?
Well, because attractions are so varied, really it's finding the story and binding a story and delivering it in a way that's really relatable to people. But key to it is identifying what your story is and then getting some really good advice on how to bring it all together to make it relatable to people. I remember hearing somebody say to me once that the way you pitch it is think that your average visitor is an intelligent 12-year-old and just make sure that your story isn't told in too highbrow or too lowbrow a way.
It's all about connecting with the visitor and bringing that personal touch to avoid any boring moments. What about the storytellers themselves? What do they think makes a tourist attraction work?
My name is Lorcan Collins and I've been running the 1916 Walking Tour of Dublin for the past 28 years.
A quite fitting surname to have, doing a 1916 walk.
Yeah, people always ask, am I related? But Josh, I'm as related to you as I am to Michael Collins. We're all related. We're all one big family in Ireland. There's only a few degrees of separation, let's face it, you know.
So you're meeting people day in, day out. You were here in Ireland to experience what's on offer, the culture, the history. What are you hearing from people? What is it that catches their eye, or what do they want to see?
Kind of hearing that people want to have something authentic, you know, something very sort of personal as well. You can spend millions and millions on a tourist attraction, but unless you have the right people behind the desk or as the guides, you're wasting your money.
When it comes to boring attractions then, are we quite bland or can we be bland?
I think we have some of the best attractions in the entire world. There is such a wide variety of attractions here, be it an old book, or be it one of the most famous beers in the world, or be it the plethora of walking tours that are all around the city. If you can't find something to do in Dublin, there's something wrong with you.
So my name is Helena Murphy and I'm a tour guide with Original Dublin. I'm about to start a mythology and folklore tour. So we tell some of the old mythological tales like Cú Chulainn and the Cattle Raid of Cooley, Fionn Mac Cool and the Salmon of Knowledge. But we kind of weave it in with the modern independence movement.
When it comes to physical attractions and landmarks, how does Dublin fare?
I mean, there are an awful lot of places for people to go. And whenever we get asked by people on tours where they should go, it can be difficult because there are a lot of places. So the first thing you have to ask is what your interest is. You know, if they like the older history, you might send them to the National Museum of Archaeology. But then there's some people who would hate that. You know, some people love art, you'd send them to the gallery. I'm not a fan of galleries, but, you know, it's whatever their interest is, really. And I do think we've got enough to cater to different interests. A lot of people have quite an interest in the alcohol culture, so they want to know about whiskey and Guinness, obviously, and they always want to know which is the best distillery to go to. And even that can be hard to define because it depends on what you're looking for.
What makes an attraction stand out, do you think? Like, how do you draw the crowds? Is it all down to authenticity?
I think authenticity is one. And then, I mean, in the world we live in now, you know, reviews are really important. So if you look at something that's been rated highly on TripAdvisor, that can normally help draw people there. Like,
so you said there that we're faring well with how many we have, how many options, but do we have any boring landmarks? I know you probably don't want to name any, but
I don't know if I could really say that anything's particularly boring. Like I said, it probably just depends on your interest.
And maybe the beer goggles and the rose-tinted glasses make the attractions even more attractive.
That can definitely help.
My name is Killian. I'm a tour guide here in Dublin and I work for the Purple Umbrella's Unearth Tours. The real draw for Ireland is the people. We are renowned as being some of the friendliest people in the world. And if you go abroad, you realise that. We're very open, very welcoming. I mean, how do you chat to an Irish person? You stand at a bar for 30 seconds and then you'd be lucky to get a word in sideways. So a lot of parts of the world, particularly younger generations, Americans are very plugged in now. Social skills is a real premium. You know, it's a real valuable product. You can see an incredible church. You could go to a cathedral. Yeah, it's amazing. But when you have a cathedral and you have the tour going, like, have you ever seen this? Look at this. You're like, well, I didn't really care much that much for you. You're pretty into it, so.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're a huge fan of cathedrals.
Enthusiasm is infectious, and we have that in spades.
If you were opening a tourist attraction in the morning, what do you think worked? What draws the crowds?
Flavour of the month, I guess. Maybe you could build a tour around kind of what's popular in the zeitgeist. So, for example, true crime is really big. So the founders of Unearthed Tours, they started a dark tour. And it's about all the death and murder and executions and ghost stories. And people love it. Oh, they're coming from all over out of the woodwork. Mad for it.
And when it comes to boring attractions, what do you think can make a place a bit bland? A bit beige?
Yeah. Now, I'm going to be polite here. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but I think we already know what it is. It's when it's just the same old. There's nothing worse than you do some kind of tourist event and you can see their eyes. This is the 1,000th time they've rattled it off and it's just reading from a script. And that, no, every tour should be a bit dynamic. It should be a bit, you know, it's fun. It should be fun.
Keeping it fresh can be key to success. But when many visitors are coming here for landmarks and drinks that are hundreds of years old, how do they rate our range of attractions?
We are coming from Germany, from Leipzig, and we like the Irish pub culture. So we think we are right here in Dublin. For drinking beer and having fun, and yes.
And are you having fun?
Yes. I think there are good attractions, and I'm surprised that all museums are admission for free.
We're not a boring city.
It's very entertaining. For all people, it's something to do.
So travel from Edinburgh, just here for the day, just for a day trip. But
you flew here today and you're going to fly back tonight?
Yeah, so last flight back this evening, first flight this morning. So
how does it compare to Edinburgh?
Pretty similar in many ways. Real tourist area, that's how I'd describe it.
Would you say it's boring?
No, 100% would not say it's boring.
Just the trad music. Something about it makes me feel like I was here in a past life.
What are your least favorite type of tourist attractions?
Well, I don't like scary things, and I don't like to hear about you know, murders and things like that. I don't even watch that stuff on television, so I kind of steer clear of that sort of thing.
We've travelled from near London. We came for a concert.
And what do you think is Dublin as a holiday destination?
Actually taken us by surprise a little, that it's so, like, we thought it was really trendy as a city.
Very vibrant, and there's so many, like, food places to go. We were very surprised by the amount of food spaces.
Compared with, like, cities in the UK, we thought, like, there's so many coffee shops and pubs and, you know, like local ones as opposed to chains, which we thought was really nice.
What do you think about value in Ireland then when it comes to prices?
Compared with other European cities, it's not great.
We come from Sardinia to see the attraction of Dublin, Temple Bar, the Guinness.
Would you say, is it a boring city?
No, absolutely. Much better than London. Absolutely.
Much better than London?
Yes.
Why so?
We've been a few times in London, but we prefer Dublin.
Even in the rain?
Yes, even in the rain, yes.
Be it a meal or an activity, many tourists will base their decisions on reviews, recommendations and awards. But how accurate can they be? And do they leave an impact? Well, Emma felt the need to leave a review after having quite the experience on her travels in Cambodia.
I definitely go by like TikTok, Instagram, pictures of stuff, what other people are going to. Yeah.
And would you leave a review yourself?
I did once. I did once when I was abroad, yeah.
A critical review?
A critical review,
yeah. How harsh?
Well,
you don't have to name the place if you don't want to.
Well, I was in Cambodia. A toilet exploded on me, so I had to leave a review for other backpackers because I didn't want that happening to anyone else. A few situations happened. A monkey stole my breakfast. I got robbed in the hostel, so yeah.
A toilet exploded?
Yeah.
So you went to flush and...
Just boom everywhere, yeah.
And did you get dirty?
Yeah, And I went in to talk to them about it and they were like, there's nothing we can do. So I wanted to tell other backpackers, and then I was in a different country a while after and people were saying, oh, did you hear about the toilet that exploded on the girl in Cambodia? I was like, that was me.
I'm that girl. And did they move away from you then in case it was a smell?
It was like, it wasn't any like feces or anything. It was just like black soot and water. And I was like, oh my God, I need to leave.
So the review then was...
Toilet exploded on me. Monkey stole my breakfast. Got robbed. But they had a festival there and it was really good. So I still gave it a 5 out of 10. Yeah.